We're back. It seems like since Christmas and then, of course, going into the New Year's, we've had some different messages. And so now we're back in 1 Thessalonians. I'm trying to not repeat everything I've done in the past, but I think we got the history of this church down pretty well. If not, you can go to the book of Acts, and you get around chapter 16, start reading, and you'll run into this church in chapter 17, and you can kind of see what's happened. A couple things that keep running in this book. Now listen, we are the Maple City Baptist Church, if you didn't know that. MCBC, that's our name. This church here, the Church of Thessalonica, see, everything they've gone through and everything they've experienced, we are reading the book that the Apostle Paul wrote to this church, but we're reading it like that history Paul wrote to them. And he gave this church some good meat and doctrine. But, you know, very practically and inspirationally, we're reading this book for God to inspire and teach us. Everything that was written in this book was written for our learning. Well, the context that is mainly in like the Old Testament. Don't rule that stuff out, even though you can't take all of it because Jesus hadn't resurrected yet. The doctrine will be a little messed up in spots. But for you and me, this book here, all this stuff written here is for us. That's what we trust God with. We trust God that the very things that this made the canon of Scripture. So God wants you and me to learn from this church at Thessalonica. And so let's learn today. Let's be very open to know that these very words in these verses God had for us. And honestly, folks, if you ever get offended at something, make sure, if you get offended at me, that's different. But if you get offended at something we're teaching that's in the Word here, be careful with that. Right there is kind of an irritant. And a lot of times that's the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit. And what he's doing is working in you, saying, man, and you're like, this thing's sitting very well with me. That's okay. God loves you. Man, he's speaking to you. That's how that works. You know how it is? You've been lectured by a parent? Nobody liked that. And later on, sometimes you go and, you know, as I'm pouting in my room, I come out and I'm like, all right, Becky, you know, I see what you're saying now, you know. But it just, and not that Becky's my mom, but she wants to be. I'm kidding. I say that all the time up here, so it's wrong. So, and some people just like, I can't believe she hasn't divorced you. I'm just like, that's exactly what I'm trying to accomplish. Just kidding. Bad joke. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. It says, I'm going to bump back just a little bit because this is where we're at. Like he says in verse, let's just go to verse 13. In verse 13, he says this. Okay. Thank you, Dollar General. It says, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh in you that believe. Then it says this in verse 14, for ye brethren became followers of the churches of God, which in Judea are in Christ Jesus. For ye also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews. So guys, you probably remember this message. This was kind of my Christmas message. My Christmas message was like, you know, every time I put these on, I'm good here. But when I go up here, I'm like, this is how my fish feel at home, looking out that thing at the world, you know. So it says here that they received the word. It says in verse 13, they received it. But he said, you just didn't receive it as the word of men. You believed it as the words of God. And then the next verse says, and you suffered for it. Do you guys remember the Christmas story? We took the Christmas characters. We took Mary, Joseph, the shepherd, and the wise men. They went through this process. Heaven spoke. Heaven came down and delivered a word, and they received it, and they believed it as the word of God. And like all of them had even a piece of suffering in their life because of it, and which is a good proof that we're willing, you know, the things we really believe we're willing to suffer for. And so this church, we've already been through this. They've suffered greatly. Guys, the Christian life is a lot about suffering. The one we want to be like Jesus Christ, he suffered. And the Bible even says in the book of Peter that he suffered then left us an example. The problem is, at all costs, we'll avoid suffering. And somehow we convince ourselves, like, this ain't right. We shouldn't feel this. And yet out of our mouths, something will happen after suffering. We'll be like, man, God really used that. I learned a lot of great lessons. And I'm like, come on, man. Yeah, for sure. And so, but what I want to do is I want to start in verse 14. And I want to say, it says, for ye brethren became followers of the churches of God, which in Judea are in Christ Jesus. And that's how he said, you've suffered many of things. So guys, let me give you my first, like, one of my big points for today. This is it today. He said that, brethren, you became followers of the churches of God, which are in Judea. Followers. They became followers. Now, what's crazy is a lot of, you know, in Judea, by the way, when the gospel started going into the Gentile world, it was about this time. Remember, the Bible says, hey, I want you to take the gospel to where? Jerusalem, Acts 1:8, Judea, Samaria, to the uttermost. This is what I want you to do. By the time persecution starts happening, God scatters some people. We'll look at this here in a second. And he took them over into the areas of Judea. Like God forced their hand and said, you're supposed to go here. Go. And so God used some persecution, some difficulty to get them moving. We get persecution. You know, a lot of times what you want to do is you want to pull in. I'm so hurt, I'll just stay. No, I'm not doing that. I'm not going there. I'm not going to be around this group of people. Last time I got hurt. And actually, the opposite needs to happen. God's going to use that like to propel you forward. You got to grow through that stuff. And so it says here that you became followers of the church of God, which are in Judea or in Christ Jesus, especially in a time, around this time, we see the gospel start going to the Gentile world. These people in Thessalonica, you know, it's just funny that they would pick this group of people. And he says, you became followers of the churches of God, which are Judea. So they were willing to be followers. The reason why I want to camp out here is there's something going on in our world right now that's really contrary to a lot of things that the Bible teaches. They became followers. If you look up this word followers in the New Testament, you're going to find 8 times it appears. Anybody that knows the Bible's been through even D2, you would know that 8 in the Bible means 7 is complete. 8, yes, right. You're right on the edge, whoever said that. So complete, but then 8 is, oh, a brand new beginning. And so if there's going to be new beginnings in our life, here's how it's going to start. Following the right people. You know, to follow means like when Jesus said, hey, follow me. You know what he's saying? Come. Come. If you look up the definition of follow, it's not even, don't even think of it as like a hard, fast command, even though it's commanded. It's like interjection. It's like very relational is what it is. And so he says, you guys being followers of the church of God that's in Judea. I'm going to show you in a minute why it's like mind-blowing that they're following these churches. But guys, let me take you on a quick journey. And in our world today, we lack this. You ask people today, young people, like a lot of them, what do you want to be? And what they want to be is they're on the edge and they're doing their own thing. They're doing it their way. They want to be, the word they use is influencers. You know, and today a lot of people just like, they want to be, find out like who they are as an individual. And that's what they, this is my truth. And so we live in a world that wants to encourage differences. They say that all, we're different, you know, and it's, and like, it can all be okay. But the Bible, I want you to know, and Paul in the New Testament, and hey, we're all different parts of the body. We all got different spiritual gifts. But the whole point of that is so that we can come together and be better. It's actually about unity. That's your gift is how you're going to minister inside the body. So Paul, like everybody else, today's world, today's culture wants to encourage our differences. This morning, I want to show you what the Apostle Paul teaches because he's going to encourage similarities. We got a whole generation, a couple generations coming up. And one, the leadership bank is empty. It's broke. When daddy's not at home, and if he is at home, he's a knucklehead. And you're going to follow in the footsteps of that, or if it's your mama that's raising you, however it is. So I just want to encourage you right now, like the Apostle Paul, he's encouraging here similarities. This church at Thessalonica, they get saved and they become a spiritual baby. They got to follow somebody. And he says, and you guys, man, you became followers of the churches of God, which in Judea are in Christ Jesus. this church that suffered great, you have followed them, man. You've looked and you have followed suit. So let me give you a few points about this. Take your Bibles, keep them here in 1 Thessalonians. So that's why you got ribbons in your Bible. You know, some people do it digitally. You can get back there quick, but throw that ribbon in there. And then in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16 is one of the times where in 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 16, you'll see that Paul says, wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me. He also says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And guys, and some people like, you know, I'm going to do my own thing. I'm gonna do it my way. And we get this mentality a little bit, and it's very, very dangerous. And he says, hey, be followers of me. Now, this changes a little bit because in Ephesians chapter 5, if you're quick in your Bible, you can go to Ephesians 5. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 1, he tells everybody to be followers. Be ye therefore followers of who? God. And people do that a lot of times. They'll like to say that, well, I'm following God. I'm following Jesus. I'm following the Bible. And yet, it's funny that God puts a church in place for a reason. It's there for, like everything else, it's there for our good. By the way, God is the Spirit. When Jesus Christ came down, like God put on flesh, you've seen it in Jesus Christ, but God is a Spirit. And so a lot of times people are going to do it their own way. But Paul begins to make, there's a doctrine here that's really important. We are a discipleship church. If you're going to follow God, you're going to need to see how that is done. And that's why you're going to follow a person. Be careful who you follow. I'm not encouraging you to be blind and just, you know, I was a youth pastor for a bit, and I remember there was young people. You got to teach them to respect their parents and bring them honor. And I'm just like, but don't be like your mom. I've said that many a times. People are like, how could you do that? Because mama lives totally contrary to the Bible. She's a dope user. Don't be like her. Love her and honor. You got to listen to her when you're in a home, you know, or your dad. So be Philippians 3, he brings up the being followers again, but he says being followers of me. So check this out. We're in the book of Thessalonians, right? In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, we've already read this one. He says this, verse 6. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. He says, guys, once you got saved, you became followers of us. He said, of us. This is right. And of the Lord. It's both. That's how it works. Yeah, I'm following Jesus. We teach people the Bible to say, yeah, hey, yeah, follow the Lord. And if you're going to follow a human being, and listen, here's the big message today, and you should. The right one. You got to make sure they're following Christ. That's it. So he said, you became followers of us. In today's verse, in verse 14, he says, brother, you became followers of the churches of God, which are in Judea. We are supposed to be followers of the churches of God. And guys, let me tell you something about the church today. The church is getting crapped on, man. And I know there's some bad ones out there that give us a bad reputation. But the churches as a whole, and the internet came on, and I'm telling you what it does. It just swallows people up. It swallows people up with, and we just want to encourage everybody to be different. And we've lost the encouragement of the similarities of the faith, of the doctrines of the New Testament. You would do well to follow the churches of God. And when you don't, let me tell you what that's called in Scripture. Rebellion. When you do your own thing, and I know better. That's why we're so weak. We got social media at our fingertips. We follow people and quote from people all the time that we don't even personally know. Is that bad? Not all the time, if it's scriptural. But we never quote from people that we personally know their lives. I know their character. I know he is following the Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, I'm going to follow him. That's what the Bible says. You became followers of the churches of God. The church should be able to be followed, copied, and we need to get out of our delusion, and we need the church. I need the church. He said, you guys, I'll tell you why you made it, why you had a real true new beginning in your life. 8 times he mentions this thing, because you were followers. Jesus clearly said this in Matthew 4:19. He's the start of this, right, for you and me. And what did he say? Hey, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. Now, that was Jesus. Nobody's going to argue following Jesus, right? Follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. The best verse is verse 20, right in behind it. You know what it says? Matthew 4:20. They're working on their nets. They left their nets, and they followed. Right? Follow me, they followed. The Bible says, be ye followers of me. Be ye followers of God. Be ye followers. You know what I like about the church of Thessalonica? And ye became followers. Because that's what the word said. That's what I'm going to do. And I'm going to fight for it. That's exactly what I'm going to fight for. So guys, most of us would be able to quote that about, follow me, we'll be fishers of men. Be followers, be followers, be followers. Yeah, hey guys, we want leadership. We want leaders. And I do. I want people to follow me. I want to be that respectable that my faith could be modeled by other people. But if you have nobody in your life that you listen to, Hebrews chapter 13 says matter of fact, we can just go there together. Hebrews chapter 13, where it actually says it twice in this chapter, but verse 17 says, hey, obey them that have the rule over you, and the word submit. Submit yourselves. Why? They watch for your souls. They must do it, give account. They may do it with joy and not with grief. The bottom line is this. The question this morning for you is this. Who is over you? I'm a grown man. Yeah, Mike, who's over you? Who talks to you? Who do you talk to? Maybe I should say it this way. Mike, who would you submit to? Who can rebuke you? Who can correct me? We all got to ask those questions. Guys, I love leadership. You want people to be leaders. I'll tell you what happens. Every leader that goes out and starts doing a big work of God, it's just amazing to me to watch them. They don't last very long sometimes. They go out to be missionaries or pastors. The work gets hard, and you get out there. I've had missionaries literally say, hey, do you got any books on church planning? I'm like, well, not specifically, because there's none out there. And I got a theory why that is. I think it's a biblical one too. But anyways, I'm just like, yeah. Well, who are you going to model? And everybody just says, well, I'm out here and I'm going to seek God on this thing and do it on my own. These people end up so stressed down the road, and a lot of times you'll watch these people, they commit like moral suicide. I'm like, he's out of the ministry? Huh. Not following anybody. You get to a spot where your britches are so big. And I feel so sorry for these people when I hear these stories. And I like these believers here. He said, you guys became followers of the churches of God. Paul came along later in 1 Corinthians 11, and that's when he said, hey, be followers of me as I am of Christ. Of course, Jesus, same thing. So the bottom line is, what the word says is this, be ye followers of me. Be ye followers of us. Be followers of the churches of God. Follow this church. Submit yourself to the church. If you're offended that I said that, I'm just telling you, you're dead wrong. Now, maybe you don't like me or something in my life. Maybe you don't like some of the doctrine of this church. I get that. There's other churches. And that is a freedom. That is an open door. We're not the only, we're not the only gig in town. For real. But it's very important that we have that and say, I want to become like the churches. It's very important for this to happen. In Revelation chapter 3, we've been talking about this going into the new year. The churches really noted the lukewarmness of the churches. Just say, I say, and all these things, like they say there's something they're not. Guys, that's called delusion. You think you're really something you're not. The church of Laodicea thinks they're more godly than they, it's very dangerous. And I think our world, and we all see this because we do get on social media and look at these type of things. It's really pushed and it's very, very dangerous. And now we got a bunch of people. It's just not right. It is just not right. And by the way, this whole following group type of thing, you know, I like, at the very end, if you study the word follow in the Bible, you know what I like the last time you find it? It's over in Revelation. And you know what it is? It don't say, and he followed Jesus. And she followed Jesus. It don't even use the word they, but it does use a plural word. And it says, in the armies, on their white horse, follow Jesus Christ. It's an army. This is why it's so important. It says, her brethren, you became followers of the churches of God. If this thing's going to multiply and you're going to take it to the world. Do you ever see it like watching TV and you're watching it and there's like some lions coming around the corner and there's this whole group of flipping, you know, beasts, man. These big old cow looking whatever. And it's funny to me, always, always, always. They never run into the middle of all these big old things with horns and jump at them. Hey, let's grab the biggest one we can here. There's more meat on him. You know what I'm saying? They won't enter into that crowd because they'll get horned. All you got to do is cause chaos and somebody will wander off by themselves. You're dead. It's the enemy. That's what he does. He finds the one that gets out. It's not, you know, it could be a fast one. Sometimes it's an injured one or a weak one for sure. But it's very dangerous to walk off and just and sing you and Frank Sinatra. And I'll do it my way. Dead. You're done. That's how it works, you know. Crazy, isn't it? It's so crazy. I don't know, when you look at following, like in the Bible and what we do today. Guys, it's so messed up. Did you know they say the average person is on their phone? It depends on where you go. You're on your phone over 3 hours a day. And, you know, and then I tell people, and I'm like, I'm on my phone 3 hours a day, but I read my Bible on my phone. And them two chapters don't take me long. So that okay, give me 12 minutes. I don't know. Give me 8 minutes on that, you know. 3 hours and 15 minutes. There are so many stats on how many times people, if you're a younger person, they say every time you look at your screen up to 350 times a day. And grandma, you're down near 50, which is still probably like, well, that's a lot, you know. And the whole point is, you give it that much attention because that's what you are following. That's what you're after. Yeah, just think about it. Just think about, I'm just telling you right now, if you would pick up the Bible, okay, let me give you this. If you would take, I'm just going to say the book of John, you would look at the book of John 350 times a day. Oh, you're not going to be sitting there and reading three chapters at a time because you might be at work. But you might have answered three emails, feel like you got a little break, and instead of going to like Instagram, instead of going over here, you're going to pick up the Bible, and you're John chapter 2, and you're going to read two verses. You know, you're going to read them seven times. You're going to go through it. If you do that every day, do you realize it's going to be a short amount of time where there is 21 chapters in the book of John, and you will know it by heart. If you look at it, 350. Now, I'm not suggesting you do that. I think you'd get fired. You know, I know some companies, you can't have your phone near you. Now they have a hard time pushing that one, right? But we can't be on it like that. But the whole point is, our whole culture, and my message today is not against phones necessarily or against social media. What I am against is us following people on social media and we're not following the churches that God's put in front of us. And guys, it's sad for me. The church I'm from is no longer. They've changed everything. I don't know people there. And so it's weird. And so it's scary. You got to be in connection with other churches that are examples to you that you can follow. And I just want to encourage you today, and especially, hey, young people, listen to this one. I would say young people, probably younger people, would struggle with this more than others. You got to have somebody in our messed up world that you can follow their footsteps, man. And they've got to be godly and walk with Jesus. There's decisions you need to make. And you need to make that decision based on because you are following. Yeah, you're following God, following Christ by following the man or the woman that's walking with him. And this is something, and I realize as you follow, when you first start following somebody, I get it. You're growing. You're going to make mistakes. You're going to mess up. But the day's coming. It's already there if you've got kids where people are going to be following you. And then you're going to learn how to be a man or a woman that's godly and worthy to be followed. Really, that's how it works. But even in my life, you know, I made a phone call a couple weeks ago, and I made it to a man. You know who it was? It's a man who I've followed for years. Just needed to touch base. I think I needed somebody to tell me I was okay. He said, "You're doing good. Praise the Lord. Tell me about the church." I laid it all out. I was like, I need this. Young people need it. Older people need it. We all need it. That's why the Bible says this. He says, you guys were followers of the churches of God, which are in Judea and in Christ Jesus. And guys, get this one. The beautiful part about following the church of Judea, today, like the churches that hold the influence, especially on social media, we follow them because they're beautiful. They're sexy. Their pastor writes books. They put out music. We follow that because it's awesome, right? It looks so good. We really don't know that. We really don't know those people, but we follow them. What I love about the churches of Judea, if you get in the book of Acts and you watch the church of Judea, it was like suck. Problems, bloody nose, suck. Their lives were so incredibly difficult. And he just says, and you guys, you are followers of the churches of Judea. Man, I ain't following him. Why? It's too hard. That is so, they didn't have that attitude. Everybody in Acts chapter 1 verse 8, we know what scripture says, right? We're supposed to be witnesses everywhere to Judea, Jerusalem. Everybody go back to the book of Acts. We know that. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. Be witnesses, man. Take this everywhere, right? And, of course, they don't. So if you're in Acts, everybody's in the book of Acts. Let's go to Acts chapter 8 and verse 1. Watch this. Saul was consenting unto his death, and at that time, the death of Stephen, and at that time, there was a great persecution against the church, which is at Jerusalem. They were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of, there it is. So they were being persecuted in Jerusalem. They scattered and they ended up in Judea. It says in verse 3, as for Saul, he made havoc of the church. I mean, he was entering into every house, man. There were some problems there. So this is the church of Judea. Man, it was havoc, man. You get to chapter 9 and verse 13. 9 of verse 13, then Ananias answered, Lord, I've heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. Yeah, that's right. This is Saul. He's doing the business. Of course, after he got saved, if you look at verse 31, then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee. Because there was no rest. There was constant problems and friction. And the enemy does this many a different ways. So many different ways that he causes problems and division and weirdness and persecuting the church. You get to chapter 10 of verse 37. What I love about this is they were receiving the business. There was havoc. It was rough. These Christians like were running for their lives. And then you get to Acts chapter 10 of verse 37. I say, you know, the word I say, ye know, which was published throughout all, where? Judea. The word is always published best under hotness, man, under difficulty, under pressure. 11 verse 1, and the apostles and brethren that were in Judea heard that the Gentiles received the word. What? Yeah, see, Jerusalem, Jewish, Jewish, Jewish. They got together doing their own thing, Jewish, Jewish. Finally, when God started making the word known that it needs to go abroad to the entire, right, he's pushing it, right, because they're not doing it. And here the churches of Judea, they hear that it was the Gentiles getting it too. What? Yeah, crazy. The word's being published. They hear Gentiles are receiving the word. You get to 11:29, and the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief. Where? Unto the brethren which dwelt at Judea. They need relief. These guys are after it, publishing the word. They need help. And so they're like, hey, let's get together and pull our money together and send some relief to them. Similar to what we did for Tampa. They need help. We got the ability to do something about it. So this is the church of Judea. So you read verses like this, and well, they're needy. You know, in chapter 12 and verse 1, Herod the king, he vexed the church. If you go to chapter 15 of Acts, at the very end of it, like in verse, towards the end, 31. Well, that's not true. Verse 1. Here it is. And certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, hey, except you be circumcised after the manner of Moses, he can't be saved. See, the enemy's working it. Now he's down to Judea and just saying, here's the deal. I got some bad doctrine for you guys. And he's trying to tell these guys, like, you need to get back under the law. Why? This is not a good thing. It was a Jewish thing under the Old Testament. A law that's been fulfilled, they're bringing it back to life. Rules and regulations that the New Testament are not going to have into effect. Bad doctrine, right? So the church of Judea, I'm like, man, the enemy is working hard after these guys. Paul even says in Romans 15:31, prayed, and he says, pray that I would be delivered from them that don't believe in Judea. Them people are rough. So now it makes a little more sense when this church of Thessalonica, Paul says, and you guys were followers of the churches of Judea. You guys are tough, man. You guys take your Christianity serious. Because this ain't easy, is it? They're like, no, it's not. But you followed them. You've seen how it was done. When the bad doctrine comes in, how are you going to handle this? Right? When people come in and they're vexing the church, how are you going to handle this? And they're watching them closely. And he said, you're following in their footsteps. Guys, the bottom line is this. The churches of Judea, they were no strangers to persecution. They were not strangers to persecution. I guess what I'm saying is the Thessalonians looked at this church and said, man, this is going to be hard. It's going to be hard. It's tough to follow Christ, isn't it? Yeah. But follow the churches of Judea. They're going to show you how to do it. But it's not because it was easy. It's not because it was smooth. It was very, very rough. Do you know what Luke says? Luke chapter 6 and verse 32. That's the verse where it just says, yeah, hey, it's easy to love people that love you. But Jesus says, love your enemy. People you have hate in your heart. This is tough. Really? Yeah, that's Christianity at its best. And so I just want you to know, even though that church was tough to follow, if it was a church that said, hey, follow us. Belize had a church come down and said, we would like you to become one of our churches. We're branding ourselves. If you take our name, we'll provide you some funding and help you with like building projects. And I'm just like, that'd be an easy church to follow, wouldn't it? That's a no-brainer. There's money involved too. And by the grace of God, it was a hazer that just said, guys, I like what you're doing, but we already got a name. It's like, no, you need to get our name. He's like, yeah, but I'm struggling because we're already established. And he starts going through it. And finally, you know, he talked to all these, and he's young. These guys are older. He said, guys, I think you're trying to control me. He called it. He really did. But let me tell you the negative on the other side of it. Well, then, who are you following? And that's when you run into problems. And it never works out very well, does it? And it doesn't, because this is the system. We call it discipleship that God set up. So, hey, church, I just want to encourage you today. Let's watch this. Yeah, differences, we know that. People need to be different, and not just color different. There needs to be different opinions. You know, even political parties, you know. what good would it be? Like, every time I play a new game, I get frustrated because people are like, okay, you move 7 spaces here, roll the dice, then grab 3 cards. And I'm like, would somebody tell me the point of the game? I got to know the point. What is it? Well, there's really no point. Oh, so I'm not competing. Nobody's against me here. Like, that's what makes a good game, right? It's moving this way, and there's some hindrances this way, right? That's what history is. That's how God, that's spiritual warfare. And so to get into a game, and that's why, you know, it was always silly to me. I remember when Josie was little, and she was teaching me a little bit about Minecraft. And I'm like, what's the point? She's like, you're building things. For what? Like, I didn't get any good answers. And guess what? Delete. I'm done with that. I ain't playing that game. What's the whole point? But, you know, people do it all the time. Do you guys remember when Facebook, like, was starting to get hot maybe 10 years ago? There was, like, some farm game on there. I'm like, what's the point? Well, you get to plant corn. Try to get some sheep in the backyard. For what? Is there any way to win? Like, who am I going to beat? I want a market that I can take these things to and cha-ching! You know, it's like, nah, you're just building properties. I'm like, I don't get the point, right? What is the point? He said, you guys followed, man. You were followers of the church of Judea. And guys, it was not easy. We just want to encourage you, be a follower today. You got to come up with similarities. I've got to follow. I've got to be in pocket. I've got to be, and all the words that we know that would go with that, that the Bible uses over and over again, that a pastor can't use from the pulpit because people go, I can't believe he said that. I can't believe he quoted the word to us. But it sounds like I'm benefiting me. You know, that's why it's weird. Giving is the real hard one. I get into a pastor about giving in the Bible, and you guys know me on giving. I kind of be like, you know, it's weird because I pull a paycheck on the place. So does that mean I just don't teach the Bible in those spots? It's just hard. I think you guys know that. So they were no strangers to persecution, were they? Were they? Nope. Hey, let's look at this. We've seen in verse 14, it says this. Ye became followers of the churches of God which are in Judea, are in Christ Jesus. I better look at the time. And it says, and have suffered like things of your own countrymen. Even as they have of the Jews. Watch this. So you guys, right, suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the churches of Judea have suffered greatly by the Jews. And it says this, they killed the Lord Jesus Christ. Guys, they killed their own prophets. Matthew chapter 23, Acts chapter 7 says they killed their own prophets. And then Paul says they've persecuted us. And they pleased not God. What's unusual about that phrase there is they pleased not God. They were killing Christians thinking they were pleasing God. I think them days will come back. John chapter 16, verse 2, Acts 26, 9, that's what it just says. They thought they were doing the right thing by pleasing God. And Paul says, they please not God. Well, Romans 8 is pretty clear about that, isn't it? If you are lost and don't know Jesus, you can't please God. It's impossible, even with your morality. It says they're contrary to all men, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles that they might be saved. These Jews were so staunch, they didn't want any good to happen to the Gentiles, right? Yeah, it was awful. And matter of fact, if you bring that up like in Acts chapter 22, they were like put out by it. You know, that's when they were going to get crazy on this thing. I can show you that. If you're already in the book of Acts, just go over to Acts chapter 22. And you look at verse 21 and it says this. He said unto me, depart, for I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles. So he's telling a story here, right, to the council. So God sent me to the Gentiles. Look at verse 22. And they gave him audience unto this word, and then lifted up their voice and said, away with such a fellow from the earth, for it is not fit that he should live. When Paul said, God made it clear I should go to the Gentiles, and all them Jews are just like, this man needs his head cut off. You can see, and that's why he says, they forbid us to speak to the Gentiles. They're all offended, right? Isn't it funny, like Matthew 19, we read the stories, and like kids are coming to Jesus, and the disciples are like, get back! Children, get back! You know, and Jesus is like, are you kidding me right now? No, they were dead serious. And these people were dead serious too, but look what it says. they forbid to speak to the Gentiles, they might be saved. And it says, to fill up their sins always, for the wrath has come upon them to the uttermost. Isn't it interesting? Mark this down. Anybody that wants to oppose the gospel becomes the object of God's wrath. Anybody that opposes the gospel becomes an object of God's wrath. John 3:36 says, if they don't believe, people say, one day you're going to get the wrath of God. It don't say that. It says, oh, you don't believe? God's wrath abides on you now. Romans 1:18, he says the same thing. And the wrath of God abides on you. Anybody that wants to oppose. So guess what? They're filling up their sins always, for the wrath is coming to them to the uttermost. God completely does this. I like that we're supposed to take the gospel all over the world to the uttermost, right? Completely, fully do this thing. People that go against God, they're getting God's judgment and wrath fully. He will not hold back. I'm running out of time. So, and he's letting me know. So that's all right. No, you're good. Seriously, guys, I'm not finished, but I'm finished for today. So what's the takeaways? What's the takeaway today? Be followers. Who are you following? You got godly people you're following in their footsteps? The churches, he says, you were followers of the churches of Judea. And we did that. I'm thankful for a church that taught me the Bible. And you know what they said? Go do thou likewise. You know what we did when we came here? Modeled them. We were following them. Isn't that awesome? Yeah, that's exactly how it's supposed to work. And so, young people, just want to encourage you. Be careful being too independent, desiring to be this great influencer. You know the way to be the influencer? Be a great follower. Be a great follower. That's what God's word says. It is just that simple. Those of you that have wandered, here's all I would say. I remember singing this as a kid. We'd be at church at the end. Come home. Come home. Anybody that's wandered, come back. It's that simple. Let's be followers of the churches. We got too many independent people running around. We can't have that. We're stronger together. And God's going to prove it at the end when he says, okay, armies, let's go. And let's do that here. Plural, churches. Let's get behind it. They modeled it for us. They suffered greatly. How's this done? And we're going to watch them and see how that's done. Let's be that example to these other churches. By the way, there's a couple churches we know that have planted churches here in the last 3 years. I called one of them. This was probably about 2 months ago now, and I called. I just said, hey, man, don't want you bother you today. I just want to know, you doing okay? Is life good? You know, ministry going all right? And yeah. I said, okay, you know, I'll let you go. You know, I said, don't want to bother you. Just literally, I prayed for you this morning. You know, and you know what he said? He goes, Mike, you're the only one that's called in months. I said, what about your sending church? They didn't call. They don't call me. I'm like, You know what that is? God just opened my eyes saying, you could be that guy. Be that guy. Get involved in this thing. Because you know what his church needs to do? They need to follow us. Bobby, you remember years ago when we put that 10-step planting strategy together and I came forward and I just said, you know what? I don't know how this is big it's going to be in Warren County, but everybody follows big churches, big pastors, sexy music, sexy books, and tight jeans, and beautiful wife, and Botox, you know. We all follow that. What's up on stage looks so good. And I said, we want to be an example to the small church across America. Because 90% of the fundamental churches in this country are under 100 members. Nobody wants to talk about them. We just want to talk about the masses because it's big and that's good, isn't it? I'm not saying there's good things to that for sure. Not all of them are bad. But there's a lot of small ones out there. And you know what they're doing? They're closing their doors. They're not mission-minded. They don't know. How does this happen now? We're filled with a church of everybody's over the age of 70. How is this going to work? What are we going to do? And it's not getting cool music in. That's not the key. We know what the key is, don't we? Somebody didn't make disciples. Somebody didn't reproduce. Somebody didn't say, young man, follow me. As I follow Christ, this is how you do it. This is how you treat your wife. This is how you do with your children. This is exactly how you respond in culture at work. That's exactly what it is. Do we got it, you think? Very easy? Easy to say. Hard to do? Well, let's pray. Let's everybody bow our heads and let's just pray to the Lord right now. Jesus, Thank you for your word, its power. Lord, as I study it, I'm always amazed. Lord, thank you for teaching and opening our eyes, opening my eyes. Lord, we love your word. And God, we love the church. Lord, I can't think of where my life would be without the church. Lord, I can't think of where my life would be without the men in churches that you've put in my life that I could so follow. All the men that I've called in years past and just needed counsel and needed some help. God, it's been a beautiful thing. I just pray that we would learn that. Everybody in this room, especially our young people, they would quit living independent lives behind a closed door on a screen. They would subject themselves to some real accountability, and they would follow and allow people in their lives that they could obey, people that they could follow, people that they could submit to. I pray, Lord, we're a church worthy of that title, that we would pursue your heart, and that way we could be worthy to be modeled and followed. Jesus, thank you for the trip we had to Tampa at. Thank you for the men that worked their guts out. I'm thankful for this church spending their money to get that done and get them there. Lord, today we love you. You're worthy of our praise. I pray we leave this place praising you. Leave this place fired up, wanting to be close with you. I pray we leave this place wanting to be right, to leave our rebellion at the cross and join together. And I pray one day, Lord, we can look at each other on white horses to follow you and say, wow, we're used to this because we did it on planet Earth. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Amen.